4FMC. Testing.
4FBX.
Good evening, W4FBX. This is KR4FMC. Just trying to test out a new indoor antenna on this small handheld and see if I can get out.
Copy on you. I'm here in Simpsonville, South Carolina, of course, but yeah, there's a little bit of white noise, but it's not nothing bad. It's just you're perfectly readable.
Good to hear. About what part of Simpsonville are you in? I'm up here on the northeastern corner of Simpsonville's zip code.
How to explain it. I don't know if my direction is that good, but I'm about a mile and a half from the police department, if that makes sense, but I live on Jonesville Road, kind of like parallel with Main Street there.
I'm familiar with Simpsonville. I've got a store down there on Fairview Road and visit it frequently, so very familiar with it, very familiar. But I'm up here on the northern end of the Simpsonville zip code area, over in the Five Forks area.
Oh, roger that. Yeah, I know where Five Forks is. I go to my doctor's up there, right there up on, well, in the Five Forks area, Prisma Health, right there at that little facility. I don't know, there's a Publix or something and a food line across the street, right there close to Woodruff Road, too.
We're happy that. It's about where Scuffletown comes into it, and they got all that good medical stuff in there. But yeah, it's a Publix, Food Lion's across the street a little bit. Five Forks is just five roads all coming together. But yeah, I'm just a little bit north of that.
Roger that. I got a friend from the CB days lives over there in that area. So, I've been living in Simpsonville since like 1987, except for time away in the military. But I remember when Scuffletown USA was there on Scuffletown Road.
Copy that. 87, fun time. You mentioned CB World. Yeah, last time I had a license from the FCC. It was back in the old days when the CVs required a license. So that was early 70s.
Roger that. That's cool. Yeah, I know I've heard about that. I got a brother-in-law that's been a ham since 1976, but he messed around with everything. But I didn't recently get into CB about 3 or 4 years ago, and then I got my GMRS license, and then I studied, and I was going to get my novice license a long time ago, but I couldn't have time to practice the code, but now you don't have to have it. So anyway, about a little over a year ago now, I was visiting up New Hampshire, and I had time to study, and I passed my tech in general the same day, and I'm about ready to go take the test for extra.
Now I'm impressed. Got the technical and general all on the same day, and you're going for the extra. That's really cool. I just recently passed the general, so technically I need a flash AG on my call sign, but the government hasn't been able to formally recognize that. But yeah, the extra is going to be a little bit further down the line. I got to see if I'm going to get that much further into all the equipment and reaching out on those HF distances.
Roger that, my friend. Yeah, well, you don't really gain that much to get extra, but since I bought the book and I was studying it, I was testing sometimes like 70%, 69%. Then I retook my missed questions, I got 94%. Then the night before I was going to go test, I took it again, and I got down to 69%, so I decided I wasn't ready for that. But, man, you'll love HF if you haven't played around with that much, but I've been talking all over the world. It's so much fun. It's just really a lot of fun.
Last time I dealt with any of that, it was back when I was doing the CB stuff, you know, so that 11-meter comes into play. You get into that same area that a lot of the HF stuff does, but they get down into much lower frequency bands, and propagation goes out a lot further. You better skip off the lower frequencies.
Still, even though I got my general license, there's still a lot to learn. I'm not no expert by no means, but I think to get my extra, I'm just going to have to memorize some of it because it gets real technical. It's aggravating, but I think there's like a 50-question test, but a possible 600 and some odd number of questions that they can ask you. So you're definitely ain't going to walk in and pass it without studying.
Believe that. I was taking practice tests on the general for about 2 weeks before I decided that, okay, I'm finally hitting the numbers where I'm getting 75% correct on it. So I knew it was in the passing range, so I said, okay, let's go ahead and do it.
You know, what I was just from advice from other people is just like, don't just study this hard this week and then let it go for a month. You know, just stay constant at it. Just study, study, study. Of course, you already got your general, so you already know what I'm talking about. But, you know, while you got it fresh in your mind, just keep taking the practice test and keep reading the book. I read two books. I did the AARRL. I did the ham radio prep, and I was using hamstudy.org, I was using ham radio prep, the app, you know, where you're watching videos. So, I don't know. I actually enjoy learning it, but the extra, I just, a lot of that, unless somebody can explain some of it to me, I don't got no background in all this building radios and stuff. So, somebody, I'm just going to have to wing it and memorize it. So, anyway, it was really nice talking to you. My name's Brad here. I'm a sensitive, like I said. What's your name, sir?
My name is Rick, and yeah, like I said, I'm up here in the northern, 5-4 series for sensitive. But, it's been fun. I'm glad I had a chance to talk with you. Been having fun. I'm sitting on an 8-watt Bofang handheld radio, and I've got it wired into a indoor roll-up antenna. So I guess it's working pretty good because I'm hitting the repeater, but hitting the repeater is coming back.
Yeah, that's awesome. I don't know exactly what kind of antenna. I've got probably, well, I had like 15 HTs. I went crazy when I first got my license. So I gave a couple away to a STEM project. I was curious what Balfang model number that is, because I've got a couple that need to be programmed, but I've got a couple of the bigger ones.
This is a Balfang thing, F8HP, so it's putting out 8 watts.
Yeah, I don't know if I've even heard that model before, but I don't have them handy, but I don't know if it's a 5M or something, and I don't remember, man, that's so confusing. But, it's doing you a great job, and the antenna sounds like, is it like a roll-up JPO or something like that?
A guy named Nelson Antennas puts it out. It's a roll-up type thing. You just hanging it off of a curtain rod near my window, and it's got a little coax, about 10 feet of coax that runs over and ties right into the radio. Really quite affordable. It was only $40. So I thought, yeah, I got to try that, see if I can get out. It's hitting the repeater beautifully.
Well, man, I have a friend that lives in Malden. He's an extra class, actually. And he has a hard time because he's in an HOA and he can't have an antenna out like I do. But I'm good on QRZ, but I'd like to see the make, model, or, you know, of that if you wanted to send it to me. But I don't know if you do QRZ, but I bet he would like that. He lives over there close to Mullen High School, so that's about equal distance from me to you or me to him. So he might be interested in that intel.
So far, I feel pretty good about it. I think this is the first time I've tried it on the Bofang. I've been using it on a TED radio H3. They puts out 10 watts, and it's been doing great on it. So I thought, tonight let me wire it into the Bofang and see if this going to work. I think the model that you were thinking about was the UV5R, which is what a lot of them have, the UV5R. And this is just the next level up above that, because the Bofang 5R puts out 5 watts. This one puts out 8.
Yeah, roger that. No, I'm very familiar with the Bofang. That's why I started off with the 5Rs, and then I've got some that put out 5, but it's like 5RH and whatever. But then I bought one or two that are like 8 watts, but I don't remember the model number. But I've also got about 4 of the TID radio TH3s. I got maybe one, the TH8 or TDH8, and I'll have to look up them. The one that the most recent one I bought, it was I watched a video on YouTube, and it supposedly have one of the lowest spurious emissions that Bofang has, so that's why I bought that one.
Now, Bofang has got so many different models, it's hard to keep up with it. We got another set over here that's got the EMR stuff into it, and I can hardly take time to play with the EMR and figure it all out.
A little bit of staticky right there, but I don't know if it's you moving around or what. But yeah, I've got the 17, the Bofang UV17. I got one of them Wusson ones, but right now I'm talking on a mobile rig. It's sitting in my car with the engine running on a magnet mount. I'm not hooked up to my JPO. This is a new radio I bought. It's the ICOM 2730P, the blackout. And I'm loving it. But I got a little bit more things to work out on it, though, because even though I got it programmed at the meeting the other night, but some of the offsets are wrong, so I have to learn how to do it manually on it. So I haven't been able to check into some of my regular nets.
Yeah, copy that. Yeah, programming these things is one of the more difficult elements of it. One of the nice things about the TID radios is I can, look up the meter book and all the settings for it, and it'll up Bluetooth it right into the radio. So it works out pretty good. With the Bofangs, I got to go through the chirp program to get it all programmed, working right. It's not hard, but it's fun to learn.
I think I spend more time programming and setting stuff up than I actually do get to talk, but excuse me, let's take a wrong pipe there. I took a swallow of the drink and it didn't go down right. But you ever check in on the nest at night, like tonight on this ring? Well, they have a nest at 9 o'clock.
That's affirmative. My little whip handheld on the mobile handheld I was getting into it. So, hey, get the repeater. I can get out and talk.
Yeah, I think we might be experiencing a little bit of band condition, because when I first started talking to you, it was really clear, and then now it's pretty scratchy. But I need to go in and check with my mom. She's had been real sick, but but anyway, give me your call sign again, please.
Mine is KR4FNC. That's Kilo Romeo 4 Foxtrot November Charlie.
Copy that, Rick. KR4FMC. Well, Rick, it was great talking to you. I'm going to say 73 for now, but conversation with you. I hope I get to talk to you again sometime or we meet in person. But I'm going to clear with you right now, and I've got some things to do. KR4FMC or W4FBX. I'll be clear on your phone.
Okay, KR4FBX, Brad. Yeah, it's been a pleasure talking with you. God, I hope we get to get together again, hook up on it. And it must be the conditions atmospheric-wise, because my indoor antenna is not moving, and I'm still in the same room. So, 73 to you, my friend. You have a great evening, and hopefully we'll be talking again real soon. This is KR4FNC. We will be clear.
Yeah, one more quick comment, Rick. Yeah, I believe it must be some band conditions because I haven't moved either. So it's like it was real clear and it got staticky, and then you clear right back up on your last few transmissions. But 73 is my friend. We'll do it again sometime, I'm sure. And have a good night. W4SBX, I'll be clear.